You're listening to Live Law, real stories about the law told live. I'm Nancy Mullane. This week's story is from Steve Zimmer. Steve lives in New York, but he didn't always live in a big city. When he was a kid, Steve and his family moved from one small town to another. And you know how that is. You're the new kid on the block and you want to fit in. Here's Steve.
In our section of Niles, Illinois, all the backyards measure exactly 30 feet by 40 feet. But the Dwyer's backyard is first among equals. They have a pool, and it's surrounded by this large wood deck that gets about this high. And sometimes when the Dwyers are having pool parties, I'll sneak through a gap in the fence and crawl undetected beneath the deck, and I can look up through gaps in the wood and spy on the pool party. So this did not happen recently. I was eight. And the Dwyer's deck, with its sunlit surface and troll-infested underworld, is kind of like our neighborhood, which is in the midst of a crime wave. Six burglaries in 4 months. The burglaries began shortly after my family moved in. We're innocent, but we can't escape the observation that everything was fine until that weird family showed up. And now, my parents aren't actually that weird. The stigma is partly from, you know, being strangers at a time when people are scared, and partly from me. At that age, I'm very religious. I have severe ADD and love animals, which is a devastating combination that results in a series of elaborate backyard funerals for animals I rescued that I forgot to feed, all which gets witnessed out of context by our neighbors. So now, after two more burglaries, a neighborhood watch forms. And my parents offer to join the watch, and the neighbors, apparently anticipating that my parents would offer to join the watch, welcome them on as reserves. We know who blocked us. It was the Dwyers. They're like the alpha family in the neighborhood, very popular. And even though they live right next door to us, especially their two oldest kids, Tommy, who's 16, and Marianne, who's 15. And even though the Dwyers live right next door to us, they never say hello or invite us to anything, including their upcoming huge June 21st Hawaiian luau party. I nonetheless secretly attend this event, crawling underneath the deck as the luau rages above me. And near the center, I hear Mr. Dwyer, you know, talking and like holding court, and he's got everybody laughing about something, which I gradually realize is my parents. And I'm not popular in school, but like hearing that my parents aren't popular is, you know, somehow much worse. So, not surprisingly, a week later, we have the Zimmer family luau, featuring Zimmer's pineapple marinated ham in despair. My parents take this opportunity to say that, you know, we're going to do our own family neighborhood watch, which sounds lame, but I think they just want a way for my little brother and I to deal with our fear of the burglaries. And I've been having, you know, bad dreams about, you know, the robbers coming in our house at night. And I must be a conservative kid because the robbers are always hippies. And they laugh and, you know, give us the peace sign as they mishandle my coin collection and shoot us full of holes. My little brother is more deeply affected. He'll just skip in the middle of the night and stare out the window for hours. He thinks someone in our family is going to get harmed. He was five. Anyway, so we start doing the Zimmer family watch for an hour every night, and it's actually a great time. You know, either you'll be sitting looking out the window with my mother, and she'll tell me about, you know, being a girl on Chicago's South Side, or walking around the block with my dad, and, you know, he'll be like, oh, and, you know, at this hour you shouldn't look at the houses, you should look at the street and look for odd looking people in a crummy car, which kind of sounds like our family, and I understand why the neighbors suspect us. My parents fight a lot, constantly, but this one summer they're even unpopular with each other. This one summer they put it aside, and you know, our family pulled together, and it's the closest I'll ever feel to my family, and the most hopeful about how things will turn out for us. Because up to that point, I'd been convinced something horrible was going to happen. So, 2 months later, the end of summer, specifically September 1st, I'm asleep, and it's a warm night, which means two things. I'm wearing my orange summer pajamas, and the window's open. Around 2 a.m., I'm awakened by something brushing against my leg, but, you know, I pretend like I'm still asleep, and I hear whispers and warm breath near my face, but I keep my eyes closed, and then someone grabs my arm. So it's my little brother who I share the bedroom with. I'm like, what? And he says, the Dwyers are getting robbed. So we go and look out the window, and sure enough, there's no cars in their driveway, and all their lights are off, except for in the basement. We wake up and tell our mom, and she calls the police and wakes up our dad, in that order. This is our big chance. We're gonna save the Dwyers. So the police show up, three squad cars, you know, lights, sirens, and they pull five very sketchy looking teenage guys out of the Dwyer basement, along with Tommy and Marianne Dwyer. And so, you know, by now the whole neighborhood's out walking their dog, even if they don't have a dog. And our front yard's like, you know, the center of the universe. Everyone's out there and they're all talking at once. And people are like, you know, what's going on? Why are the police questioning those kids? You know, are they criminals? Nobody knows. No one knows who those kids are. They're not from around the neighborhood, which is really weird because Tommy and Marianne Dwyer have so many friends in the neighborhood. You know, they're very popular. They know everyone. They've probably been in every house on the block. Tommy and Marianne have been in every house on the block. There's no arrests, but the neighborhood watch becomes Watch the Dwyers, and the burglaries stop cold. That night changes everything. The Dwyers eventually move away in disgrace. The neighborhood is safe, and we're no longer the weird family. We're the weird family you don't fuck with.
Steve Zimmer told his story at a recent Live Law show in New York. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Life of the Law, featuring investigative reports on the law in our lives. In fact, you can help us out by sharing a story about the law in your life. Have you ever been stopped by the police? Were you alone or with friends? Did you know the rules and what to do? Tell us your story. Record yourself using the voice memo app on your smartphone and then email it to our team at connect@lifeofthelaw.org. Or you can write out your story and send it to us again in an email at connect@lifeofthelaw.org. You can also give us a call and leave your story on our voicemail, 415-761-1LAW. That's 415-761-1529. Next week on Life of the Law.
Being a native and someone who grew up in this city, I think residency is very important to the police department.
That's next week on Life of the Law. You can hear our feature reports and our live law stories at infiniteguest.org or search for us on your favorite podcast app. Live Law is a production of Life of the Law and is produced by Mary Adkins and Jonathan Hirsch. I'm Nancy Mullane. Thanks for listening.